Blog Talk Radio.
You are tuned in to Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang. Stay tuned as we enter into the world of the paranormal, a world of ghosts, UFOs, psychics, and even Bigfoot. The show is about to begin. And we are back once again into the world of the paranormal with Paranormal Horizons with your hosts, myself, Jason Ophir, and Sherry Pang. We are going to delve into the world of the paranormal once again and into an area that this show really hasn't covered in depth, and that is tarot reading. We have Mark Freeman today, who is a very adept at tarot reading and a Reiki master, and we're going to bring him on in 1 second. But before we do that, let's have a little chat with the co-host. Sherry, how are you?
Pretty good. How are you?
I am doing good. It's been kind of a long, arduous week for me, but I've recovered. I've recouped over the last couple days and the weekend, and I've been exceptionally lazy sitting at home. But how's your week been?
I'm very laid back since we've had the Veterans Day. I was able to relax and recover from the Body, Mind, and Spirit Expo in Portland at the Portland Expo Center. So it was nice to be able to recover.
How was that? That's kind of a big thing. I've never been to that. What's that about? Like, is it just a bunch of mediums, or are there ghost hunters there, or like healing? I have no idea. I've never gone.
It's a plethora of different avenues of spirituality. We had a tarot readings. We had crystals for sale, sage for sale. There's a few card readers. Oh, they had clothing for sale. They had animal communication. Just a lot of things that are supposedly in the spiritual arena, things that services that people were offering and things to sell. So it was quite interesting, very, very interesting. I haven't been there for about 5 years, and this year I was there as a vendor, and I did a gallery reading, which, as most of the viewers know, I'm a psychic medium, so I did a gallery reading, and I had about 70 people in the gallery, and it was very, very good, very, very good, very eventful and very advantageous for the people that I read for.
I'll have to pay that a visit sometime. You mentioned that they sell crystals there, and you don't know this about me, but I used to be into the metaphysical a lot more than I am now. Back when I was younger, I was into all that and tarot cards, but I was really into crystals. I would go out and collect rocks and buy crystals, and I had quite a collection of crystals, which I basically just gave away because I kind of grew out of it. But I love rocks. I love going out in the high desert and searching for stuff. And yeah, so that's cool. Well, I'll have to check that out next time. But let's see, what else do we got to talk about? Have you noticed anything going on in the paranormal world lately?
No, not really. How about you, Jason?
Well, there's always so much going on out there. There's always these news stories. One thing I did notice, and I find it kind of, I don't believe this at all, but have you heard of a planet called Nerubu?
No, I haven't.
It also goes by the name Wormwood and the Destroyer. And what it is it's this planet that after so many thousands of years comes around and enters our solar system, and it's this huge planet, and it's supposed to bring the end of the world. And these rumors about this planet have been going on for years, and there have been more recent stories saying that Nerubu, or the Destroyer, is getting close to our solar system, and that the government is covering it up, and Google Maps, which also maps the stars, is blocking out images. You know, it's like Street View or whatever, but you go in there and it shows space, and they've blocked out certain areas, and now the conspiracy is that they're blocking out Nerubu so that we can't see it, and it's going to be the end of days, and yeah.
Well, on Facebook, I don't know if this is true, but and a lot of things you can't believe what you hear or read, but they were saying that certain parts of Google Maps that they don't want you to see. I have no idea, but it's hidden from the public. So that's quite interesting.
Yeah, I think at some point they even covered up Area 51. So who knows if that's real or not. So if anybody is looking up at the night sky and sees a giant planet that's much larger than Jupiter approaching, the Paranormal Horizons know, so we can do one more impromptu show before the end of days. So.
Oh, no.
Anyway, so that's what I noticed online this week. But that being said, let's move on to our guest who's in queue, Mark Freeman, and let's learn a little bit about tarot cards, because I'm really curious about it. So we'll bring him on. Mark, how's it going?
I am well, sir. How are you?
I'm pretty good. What do you think about, do you think there's a giant rogue planet that's going to enter our solar system and wipe out life on Earth?
Well, you know, if it happens, then so be it. But I really don't concern myself with that kind of stuff. If it comes around every couple of thousand years, it hasn't wiped us out yet. So I guess we'll see, huh?
Yeah, I think it's pretty ridiculous. So now, I haven't really gone into depth on your background. If you could, like, let the listeners know a little bit about yourself and your history, and then we'll kind of just dig into tarot reading.
Okay. I was born in Ohio and grew up in South Florida in the Bahamas. Been on my own since right about 14, so I had a early start to my adult life, if you will. And I've traveled around the world a couple of times. I lived in Saudi Arabia for 3.5 years, 78 to 82, and then moved to Santa Fe, New Mexico, where I met my wife. We had 30 years. She passed away about 20 months ago. And since then, I've just been kind of trying to figure out who I am in terms of just, you know, when you're widowed, you know, it's just different. You have to learn how to deal with the grief and let it take its time to work its way through.
Sorry to hear that.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, we had a lovely life together. But as far as the skill base, when it comes to tarot, anybody can pick up a deck and do some study and learn how to turn some cards. I think it's based on that connection, if you will. I refer to it as a connection to spirit, to my guides, my people that I have around me next door. From my way of looking at things, I've been here many times, as I believe all of us have. You know, I believe in reincarnation per se, and before we come, our soul comes into a body. We sit down with our friends. I just refer to it as being next door. And we sit down, and some of them say, okay, we'll stay behind, and we'll be your guides and your teachers. And so you sign a contract, you come into a body, and then as your life goes along, you discover those people, you become aware of them. And that's kind of how, for me, that's how I see that sixth sense, if you will, how it works.
I wish that the next time I sign a contract, I come back as rich and famous. That's just saying.
and a lot of money right now.
Yeah. So some people need to do that. Yeah.
I personally had a reading from Mark the other day, and you are fantastic.
Well, thank you.
You're so patient, and you explain things. I love your style of tarot reading. You hit it right on the nose.
I try to keep it just as simple as I can. Because my job isn't so much to tell you, it is my job to tell people that sit across from me at the table what it is that Spirit wants them to hear. But the most important part of that job is to make sure that I can say it in a way that you hear it. Otherwise, it serves no purpose.
And so
what's
the history of tarot? I used to dabble in it when I was younger, but how far does it go back? Does it go back hundreds of years? I have no idea.
Yeah, there's a story about Atlantis, and I'll keep, or not Atlantis, but the libraries in Egypt got ran out of my head. Oh, back, 2,000 years ago, 2,500 years ago.
And like in Alexandria?
Alexandria, yeah. Thank you. And they knew the priestesses realized that the city was going to be burned. So they went to the priest class and they talked to them. And so they put a plan together. So they took all of that knowledge and they did paintings. And they created large concepts and smaller concepts. And the idea of the original idea, the original deck, as I understand it, was put together during that timeline to protect the knowledge that they were about to lose so that they wouldn't lose it. And they used it just as a game, a playing card game, so that the Romans had no idea about what they were even looking at or dealing with. At least that's one of the stories I've heard. So it goes back a long ways. I use what's referred to as the Rider-Waite deck. I've been doing this work for almost 23 years, and it's the only deck I've used. My teacher told me that this is the deck, this is the one. The Rider deck has been around for about 110 years. I'm not sure. It's just right around the turn of the century. And it was put together by this guy, Waite. And he was a person, because it was the Theosophist movement, there were a lot of, seances during that timeline in the United States. And all through Europe as well, and he went out to try to prove that it was all just crap, that it was all a bunch of lies and just ridiculous, and people are getting conned out of money and so on and so on. And within a few years, he realized, OMG, I guess there really is something to this. And as a result, he and a woman by the name of Coleman, she did the paintings that had created the deck, the 22 major arcana and the 56 minor. And she painted it, and then he put the book together that helped you to understand the meanings and the definitions of each of the cards. And that's the deck that I use exclusively. And in fact, most of the decks that you see out there today, most of them are reinventions, if you will, of the Rider-Waite. The Rider-Waite has four suits, and there are 14 cards in each of the suits, just like very similar to regular deck of cards. It's 1 through 10, and a page, a knight, and a queen and a king. And there, like I said, there's four suits, and each of the suits have a very specific intention and meaning. And overall, in that general sense, but then each of the cards has a more, each of those 14 cards in that suit have a more specific meaning so that you can get greater details based on what cards are drawn or pulled up. And then the other part of the deck, which are referred to as the major arcana, there are 22 of those, and basically they're the 22 major ideas or concepts that humans generally take on. It is similar in the sense of how you would think of your astrological sign. There's 12 of those. And so, you know, you have certain characteristics based on, you know, your sun sign, so on and so on. I'm no astrologer, so I don't want to get going on that because I'll get lost. But that said, how is that? Does that help?
No. Yeah. The one thing, so is it, does it have like some of the traditional symbols like the hangman, or is it, it's totally different with totally different paintings like death? And I'm trying to remember what's in a tarot deck.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It does have of the major arcana. You have the fool, the magician, the Harriet font, and the ones you mentioned as well. There's one that's referred to as the devil card or the tower card, wheel of fortune. That's what I mean by, and to understand what each one of those things mean, if you actually look at one of the cards, it can become pretty obvious pretty quickly the neighborhood that it occupies in the human psyche. It's kind of like just having some extra sun signs, if you will, if you want to compare it to astrology.
Mm-hmm. And the other question I had was, because we talk to so many diverse people on this show with, you know, a variety of beliefs, and I was wondering, because some people that we've had on the show would say that anytime you mess with the occult, be it tarot, Ouija boards, whatever, pendulum, whatever, that could act as a conduit to allow evil forces or dark entities to come through. In your belief or experience, is that true, that doing things like that, like tarot, could bring in dark forces?
I understand what you're saying. Personally, I don't believe that there is good and evil. We choose to do things, and whatever drives the individual. I mean, a sex-craved, pedophile. I mean, they're driven by really ridiculous, silly things to the majority of us. But for that individual, that person, that's how he sees life. And so, I look at someone like that with disdain, of course, but no different than an accountant. And what I mean by that is we all have stuff, that contract. And for whatever reason, that pedophile, that person, they picked this horrible existence from our perspective as human beings because they had something there that they have to learn. And unfortunately, some people choose to make other people suffer for what they need. And that is unfortunate. From my perspective, we have a lot more choice than we think we do. A lot of people say, things are predestined, your life is going to unfold exactly how it was supposed to before you came. And I would say yes to that to some degree. But how you choose to live your life and how you choose to learn the lessons you've come here to learn, because from my perspective, the only reason a soul is in the body is to learn about ourselves, to learn how to break down our barriers and how to become a kind, loving, caring human being. Because that's truly what human nature is, from my perspective. That do this... Yes, please, go ahead.
I was going to ask Sherry what her... This is kind of a little bit off the topic of tarot, but what Sherry's thoughts were on the purpose why you're here, because you're saying it's to learn. But I'm also wondering what is the end point of it all? When you come back and you've learned everything that you've learned, what happens then? But Sherry, what do you think on that?
I agree with Mark. I really feel that we're here to learn some lessons. And it's for us to be able to process its free will. And so when we make conscious choices, it is something that it has a cause and effect. It's, I really feel that we have lessons here, definitely. And I do believe in reincarnation. It was instilled inside my belief system as I was growing up. And I didn't come to understanding it until the last 10 years that, you know, we do come to hopefully learn some lessons. And if we don't, we'll come back in a different form or different body and repeat the same thing until we get it. And that's what I feel. I know it's, I see myself as different lifetimes of the different people that I possibly could have had, even though I didn't go to past life regression. I know deep in my soul that I have lived here before in a different body. Quite interesting concept.
Agreed. And Jason, I don't disagree with your point. From my perspective, when we come into life, we are like an onion. And the first part of our, let me qualify that a little bit. The first part of our life when we come in, I figure that we pick the socioeconomics, we pick our gender, we pick our sexual orientation, we pick everything that there is that we need to learn, meaning bad behavior. And we pick the people that can teach us what it is, our boundaries, and the things that isolate us and separate us from other people. And then at some point, we wake up and we realize, okay, you know, I don't want to just be controlled by all that stuff that runs around inside my head and all of my fears. So then we wake up and we decide, okay, now it's time for me to start to understand who I am and what I really have the possibility for. And to speak directly to what you mentioned a moment ago, and that is I see our life as kind of like an onion. And you do your work, and you do your work, and you face your fears, and you look at your hesitations, and you break down your barriers and your boundaries that you have between other people, ones that we say we love and ones we say we don't. And we work very hard, and we take that knife out and we cut through one of the layers of the onion. We peel it away. But what you're left with by the time this life is done is still an onion. And there's still more layers to be peeled away. So I feel that it takes a lot of lifetimes to learn what it truly is, what we are truly at a soul level. Because, you know, we're all, I don't utilize the word God per se. I don't see God as something that is outside of me. I see it as something that dwells within me, and that I am God, you are God, Sherry's God, and all of our listeners. They are the creators of their own universe. And the reason I've come to that over the last few years is because I don't want to have something outside of me that I can beg for forgiveness or ask to fix it, make it all change. Instead, I try to look to myself and take responsibility for all of my actions, good or bad. Because when it comes down to it, I'm the one that did it all. Even if I murdered somebody when I was 7 years old or caused the death, and then I spent the rest of my life doing really wonderful things and being of great service to people, so on and so on and so on, that's all fine and wonderful and just a beautiful thing. But I still committed that murder.
So is that, would you say that if you had committed a murder that there's any way to atone for that by, you know, going the rest of your life being of servitude to humanity? I mean, could you ever get over something like that spiritually?
Oh, sure, I believe you can. It requires ownership. ownership of everything that you are and everything that you've done and all the things that you have the possibility and potential of doing. It's, to me, it's all about personal responsibility and understanding who you are, and that's what the cards are for. That's what the cards help us to do. When somebody sits down across from me and they want a reading, I have a group of six or seven decks. They're all the same tarot, so the same weight deck. But, you know, some are older, some are younger, some have been read off of a lot, some haven't been. I think the youngest deck I have that I put on the table is about, 5 years old, and the oldest one is about 60. And
wow.
When I shuffle the cards and I'm done with the previous reading, I clear that previous person's energy away from the cards. And then I set them down because I know from what I've been taught and from my personal experience that the person, the cards are stacked up exactly how they need to be. And the person that's attracted to that particular deck, that's the exact deck and the exact information that Spirit wants them to hear right here, right now. Does that answer
that totally makes sense. And by the way, I do share the same exact spiritual view that you do about that we are God and we create our own universes. That's actually something that I've spent a lot of time thinking about. And in fact, there have been some scientific studies that show that on a very subatomic level, that our mere perception of things changes them on a molecular level. So I'm totally all about what you're saying with that,
sure.
That, you know, we manifest what we want. Not like, you know, if I envision a Bugatti Veyron outside, one will appear. But I believe that we can train ourselves to have best things that we want out of life. And so I totally agree with that. But now you mentioned spirit. How would you define that? Is that an entity or an energy?
I think Sherry would agree with me on this one, and that is that for me, when I speak about spirit, what I mean is the guys I signed the contract with before I took my body, those folks, they are not of our dimension. I believe they exist exactly the same way that we do, but we don't see them because they exist in a different reality. I mean, even physics today, I think it's because of chaos theory, don't quote me on that, somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but Michio Kaku, he came out just a few years ago, and he was talking about that science now can prove that there are 11 different dimensionalities that are all based in the same time, but they can't be seen by each other. So, of course, he used a much more scientific perspective, and I probably butchered the heck out of it. But to me, that's what I mean. They're my folks next door that are there to help me. And when I do a reading, I talk to my people. They talk to me. But my people talk to their people, meaning the person sitting across from me. And that's how I know what it is that needs to be spoken about. Because my people, they talk to me. I hear them. I use all five senses to be in connection with spirit, to be in connection with my people, my guides. And the hearing of it and the experience I have of it is, I would say, what we would call that sixth sense. And I believe all of us as human beings have six senses. It's just a matter of degree of development and how the psychologists will probably jump up and down and scream about this, but I would say that maybe 10, 15% of the people that we call schizophrenics out there in the world, that what they actually are is someone like me, but they never had any mentor. So they hear these voices, they hear these things, these suggestions in their head, but they don't know what to do with them, and so it does drive them crazy. But with mentoring with a teacher, I studied 3.5 years for the tarot before I came to the outside world. And I studied the cards and what each of the cards mean and the meaning of the cards. I studied numerology. I studied color, what different colors mean. I studied Jung and his concepts on what different symbolism and shapes mean. The Kabbalah is another one. It talks about the human condition, and it talks about how it interacts and how it manifests and how we identify it. All oracle is the same. It all has a connection to spirit. But for me personally, tarot cards are kind of like having 6 weeks or 6 months worth of therapy in a half an hour. And I love therapy. I think therapy is one of the best things we can do for ourselves. So what happens when somebody sits across from me, and I think this is really the paranormal aspect, I believe. When someone sits across from me, part of what happens is psychology. You know, I ask them a couple questions, they talk to me a little bit, and I listen to their voice. Part of it is body language. And I, because of their voice and because I've made physical contact, I reach out and I shake their hand. And that shaking of their hand gives me that, I don't like the word psychic, I much prefer the word that sensitive connection to the individual. All of these things are things you can learn. That sensitive ability, that's why I say we all have it. It's just a matter of whether you've exercised that muscle or not, and how much you've exercised it, and have you developed it. And granted, some people have a little more natural, innate, genetic, if you will, skill than others, but we all have it.
So go ahead.
Yeah, I can totally relate to that. Being, you know, spending. I'm going to ask you, Sherry. Now, you had a reading, and without divulging too much personal information, like the listeners about that, like how accurate it was, or.
It was accurate. I mean, it's not something I didn't know because I, like I said, I work with myself a lot, so it wasn't something that it was like, oh, my goodness, I was shocked.
It never is.
It never is, and I'm very aware of myself, and I know what I need to work on, and so it just validated what I already know. A couple things were pretty, you know, I was like, I wonder if that was true or not. But other than that, I love his delivery. He just really knows how to connect with people. I feel that everybody, the tarot cards or psychic mediums, they all have their own style and their own delivery and how they connect with people over the phone or through the internet or what have you. But I think that with Mark's style, it's very personable. You know, he's been at it for a long time, and it was nice. It was a very nice reading. I got a quick question to ask you, Mark. As
sure.
You've been in the business for a long time, let me ask you, there's a lot of people, you go to these expos and you go to these psychic fairs, there's a tarot reader or a psychic reader everywhere you turn. What do you think is going on with the wave, or why is there so many of them? How do you think that they've progressed now since the time you started, and now you see them with just a big plethora of people trying to do the same thing?
I feel that it's people coming into their own. In other words, you know, when you look at things from an astrological perspective in terms of the planet, from what we referred to as year one, you know, AD until 2000, we were in what's referred to as the Piscean period. And now the planet is moved into the Aquarian age, the Aquarian time. The planet has cycles just like we as individuals have cycles. And the Aquarian age, that's why the song, the music out of the 60s and the 70s is all about, you know, age of Aquarius. The age of Pisces was more about male dominant perspective on life, male controlled aspect, very assertive energy. Whereas this next 2,000 years is all about utopian society, where the genders become equal. And I think part of how that happens is people are beginning to wake up to the fact that they aren't alone. We're born alone, or so we feel, and we die alone. But the rest of our life, we spend trying to understand who we are. And that connection to spirits, that's why there's so many people out there. They have varying degrees of talent. I mean, I'm more on the rare side in the sense of, and I'm not tooting my horn here, I'm just saying that I actually had a teacher. I didn't just pick up a book and start reading it, and then there's a pretty standard thing within witchcraft. And what you run into is somebody picks up a book and they read about witchcraft, and then they just pronounce themselves a witch. They
That's
had no training, no connection to somebody that can teach them about the way of it, and so on and so on.
Do-it-yourself witch.
Yeah, and then they just call themselves that.
Just add water.
Well, yeah, right, just add water. Well, I studied for years before I could put the mantle of witch on me, and it was bestowed upon me by my teacher. It took me 2 years to get to that place, and that was a constant study, constant examination of myself. You know, witchy stuff is an entirely different subject for another time, but the way I see life is based on a holistic perspective that is based on responsibility. It's based on taking responsibility for who I am and what I create. Words are things. They are real. The words we tell ourselves, those things begin to manifest in our lives. And what the cards do in many respects is help us to understand what it is we put out for and what we push away from ourselves. It can talk about the most intimate thing in your life, most intimate thing, a thing you've never told another living soul, and it can have all the details, and I'll know what they are without them, the person sitting across me saying a single word. But the other extreme is it can just simply be about whether or not you can have enough money to make the mortgage payment next month. But the one thing that the cards cannot do, nor can any other oracle, and if people don't hear anything else, please hear this. No one can do your work for you. Your work is your own, and you have to do it, nor can you do work for anybody else. That's why it's based on personal responsibility, and that's what the cards are about. They help you become aware of who you are.
I had told you a little bit earlier that I had a tarot reading within the last year, and the one thing I've noticed, and with my limited exposure to the tarot, is kind of playing the devil's advocate. How would you respond to skeptics saying, well, the interpretation of the cards is so general that it literally could apply to anybody's life? You know, if you read the booklet when you get the cards and you read the explanations, oh, it's too general. It could be anybody, you know. So what would you say to that?
Well, I can talk about it from how it happens for me. You know, I'll turn a card up, and that card, and in fact, I drew a couple of cards as we've been talking, And the major arcana that I drew was about the sun. And the sun, it means that, you know, you're connected to spirit and they're with you and there's a horse on it, and a white horse indicates, you know, the existence of spirit, and there's a child riding on the back. And that child is innocence, right? So you have all of that basic stuff, right, the basic information about the card. But depending on the person that's sitting across from me, there's a red feather in the hair of that little child sitting on the back of the horse. And as I'm looking at the cards, and I'll talk about, you know, the basic meaning of the card, to a, at least in some fashion I will. But if what I focus in on is that red feather, I've learned to trust that I'm looking at that because I am being guided to do so. And I simply have to have the courage to talk about what that red feather. And for that individual, they might break into absolute tears sitting right in front of you. Because for them, that red feather had something very, very important attached to an issue that they haven't really worked out yet. And that's where that sixth sense comes in, where, yeah, you've got the definition of the card, red means passion, a feather is of air, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. You know, you can go on and you can analyze. But a difference between somebody first starting out and somebody who's had years of experience is that spirit connection, and that's, it's not that other people don't have it, it's you have to learn to trust, to say what you hear, what you're told, even if it doesn't seem like it makes any sense, and you have to risk humiliation, you have to risk, oh, yeah, right. But if somebody's really paying attention, they'll know exactly what it means. And then more details can come about that incident. Even though I don't know exactly what the incident is, the next card might tell me a little bit more about it, That's why I'm saying that something you've never told the living soul in your life, by the time you're done with the reading, you could have every detail that that individual remembers or has suppressed, and they come to the surface. And the only reason why that needs to be talked about is because that person's people next door, their guides, they know that that's the lessons that they need to pay attention to find true love and passion and compassion for themselves. And so it comes out.
It's kind of interesting, and this is kind of a little weird, but not really. It probably just coincidence, but you said you drew a card with a white horse, and immediately when you said that, I thought, my wife was telling me about a dream that I was in a cave with a bunch of people, and I led them out of a cave riding a white horse. So, I don't know. Just thought that was weird.
Well, I never see coincidence as being just coincidence. The reason why the sun card came up and the reason why I talked about the white horse is because of your dream, more than likely. And, you know, of course I can just say that since you've told me. But I trust that that is absolutely true.
I don't believe
about
in
trust.
Coincidence.
Yes, right. I understand. And I think Sherry would probably have a similar understanding and perspective on this. You know, it's, to me, cards are something you can learn, but I have not missed a day of reading cards for myself, one major and three or four minor cards, for almost 23 years. Not one day have I missed. It doesn't control my life. It lets me know what I've been attracting to myself, or what in my aura, if you will, in my extended my life today, that could potentially raise its head. And it's probably gotten me out of a couple of tight jams, I'm sure. But since I got out of them, I never had them. So, you know, you can call poo-poo on that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But
and we do
I
have
feel,
a... We do have a question in chat real quick. The question is, in the deck you're using, is there a card that represents luck? Like, what would be the luck card? Like,
or is I there would a card? Have to say, in a sense, I don't feel like luck really exists, but I would take a different meaning from what they said, and is, you know, how do I know, why is my life manifesting and unfolding the way it is? It's because it's what you put out for. And I would say that that card is the World card and maybe the Wheel of Fortune. The Wheel of Fortune, because when luck isn't going well, you know, it's because you're in a kind of time out because you've done so well at your work that your guys next door are having to look at the book and see what it is you get to learn next because you're ahead of them. Whereas the Wheel of Fortune, it appears very similar. And it's about the fact that everything in your life is working exactly as it should be, exactly what you're supposed to be learning right here and right now. So if I had to, and again, I don't really like the word luck, but if I had to address this individual, and I can feel them, by the way, because you had a connection, they wrote an email, words are things, and I would say to this individual that your luck has been running a little hard, and it's been running a little deep. And I would suggest that you take a look at what it is that you're really putting out for. What is it that you really want in your life? Start asking for it inside your head in prayer, meditation, whatever you want to call it, because thoughts are things. They're real, and they truly can manifest. We get what we put out for, and it doesn't happen overnight because it's a muscle. And if you're not used to taking responsibility for the things that you create in your life, it takes a little while to get there. And
well, you must,
that is an example of connecting to spirit right there.
You must have connected with something because they indicated that they needed a whole deck of luck. So you picked up on that. So I'm really curious, and I got to ask, does the person not have to be with you physically? Because if not, can you draw a card on me? I'm super curious.
Sure, I can do that. But I will qualify this with, not because it's going to affect, I'll just say it. I like to have the individual sit across from me because I can get so much more. But that said, I will just simply draw one major and one minor and see what they have to say.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Well, the major card is the Hanged Man. And the Hanged Man is all about surrender. Surrender. Learning how to, for you to just be a little bit more open. Step out of that cave. Don't be trapped and put yourself on that next horse and ride out of the cave, not just the people that you love and that you care about. The only way that you can be of the greatest service to the individuals in your life is to put yourself at the top of the list. As of late, you've been struggling a lot. This is a five of wands, and it's a bunch of guys standing around with sticks in their hands, whacking at each other in the air. So it's kind of like practice fighting, right? You know, we all did a practice war. You know, we did it as a kid. But really what it's saying to me is about your internal conflict that's been going on as of late. I won't get too personal because, you know, we are talking to maybe thousands of people right now. But look, you need to open your heart up to her a little more, okay? You need to start saying the stuff that you've been struggling with because you wear it on your sleeve anyway. She knows what's going on. And you just say, oh, no, everything is okay. Don't worry about it. I'm all right. Start talking about it more. It'll help you to understand what your work is. Does that make sense?
That's fair enough.
Fair enough. And like I said, I didn't want to be too personal, but you didn't tell me I could throw out on the table for the world.
it seems accurate to me. I mean, yeah.
But do you see how the card itself has a meaning? But that card came up because Spirit is telling me that you have some things going on about surrender in your life, the meaning of the card, the Hangman. But then I could go on for probably another 10 or 15 minutes about that card by drawing some more, but I would not do that to you on the show. I mean, that's not appropriate.
Well, we're just going to have to get together in person.
anytime. And I do prefer in person, but, you know, I can do things over the phone. I've learned that tonight, and I learned that with Sherry the other day. I've had a lot of friends and, you know, family, if you will, extended family, say, oh, you've got to get on one of those psychic lines. Oh, you'd be great on it, so on and so on. And I like having that person sitting right there so I can watch them flinch and I can watch them start to cry and I can hand them a tissue, you know.
You're cruel, Mark.
Well, it just makes it more intimate, and really that's what my job is. My job is to find a way for them, the person sitting across from me, find a way so that they can understand what it is that's happening in their life that's causing their pain, causing their misery. What are they doing to themselves? Because we all do it to ourselves. It may seem like the outside world, but it isn't really. We create our own reality by what we put out for and what we push away. The cards and other oracles, the cards in particular, cards on steroids, if you will, can help us understand and define what it is that we're doing and help us with solutions. They can't do the work. No oracle can do the work. Oracle meaning the cards themselves or, runes or whatever. And I can't do their work for them. But hopefully I can help them see what it is that they need to do. That's my job. I try to live a life of service. I dedicated my life, myself, to a life of service about 25 years ago. And I have not one regret. I was an electrician for 45 years, and I make a decent pension, and I'm retired now. And, you know, so, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't do this for money. But the reason there is an exchange of money with a person is because they need to value it. There has to be an exchange of energy. The individual, when you get something for nothing, you disregard it, you get money from somebody, you know, that you never thought you'd ever see or you'd ever get. You go out and you just spend it stupidly instead of sticking it away, more than likely. It's because you didn't have an investment in it. And it's the same thing with cards or any oracle. There has to be an investment by the individual who sits down on the other side of the table. I do not attempt to make a living at cards. I attempt to break even at each show that I go to. I travel up and down the West Coast. I bought a truck and an RV, a little 20-foot R-Pod. And I go from show to show to show. I might go to three or four shows and then come home for a couple weeks and then take off. And this last year I did 15 different shows. And of that 15, there's five or six of them that I'd go back to, and the rest of them I wouldn't, because they just didn't serve me. And, you know, hell, I got as much, we can't use the words just like on TV, but, you know, the five magic words, but I've got just as much crap, just as much stuff as anybody else does. And I have just as much of a hard time seeing what my own work is. But that has nothing to do with a connection to spirit and making a commitment of life in my life to a life of service. I have an ego, but I try to balance it out with humility. And usually pretty, you know, I do a pretty good job with it. But I am human.
There's balance.
You know, I got male hormones running through me just like other guys do. Female have estrogen, you know what I mean. So I got stuff. You know, we all do. And we're at about an hour and 2 minutes, it looks like. Are we running out of time? Am I too long-winded here? Or should we go on? Or how is this going to work here? Sherry?
Oh, you're talking to me?
Well, either one of you. I know it's an hour show, and we're pushing on that, so you guys may have some things, last questions you want, or, you know, or have to do a commercial, whatever it is. You know, I don't want to interfere with your format. I get awfully long-winded sometimes. I can't help it, because I truly, honest man of heart of hearts, I believe this to be true and real, just as real as picking up a rock off the dirt.
No, it's been great. And this is kind of funny, actually, because I hit the mute button on my mic and I didn't realize it. And,
oh, you've been trying to talk and you haven't been able
yeah.
to. Okay.
That's what happened.
Well,
yeah,
I
was like,
shut up for a while.
they're not hearing me. Why is that? And I'm looking down. I'm like, oh, the button's blinking. Dang it. Oh, no.
I was waiting for you to talk, Jason.
Oh, well, yeah, I was talking. I was just talking to myself.
Yeah. Now, how did that conversation go? Pretty well, I hope.
It was one-sided. But that's okay. No, what I was saying was, we are running out of time, and I wanted to give everybody an opportunity to, or I wanted to give you an opportunity to put your information out there so that people will know how to get a hold of you. Because there's some interest in chat. And then the second part of my question is, you know, I'd love to have you back on the show. Is there
anytime
way we could convince you to do little quick readings for people that call in? Is that something you'd be willing to try?
I'd be willing to try it, sure. I've never really done that, but why not? You know? It's being presented to me, so I have to look at it and go, okay, sure, anytime. Just give me a buzz. Just let me know. I know you've got other people, and this isn't the primary, you know, perspective on your show. But that's part of why I tried to talk about the paranormal aspect, that spirit connection, because that is very much a part of what you guys do. And
absolutely.
I want to thank you. Thank you both for this opportunity. My email address is dragonfly555@frontier.com. And my name is Mark Stephen with a PH Freeman on Facebook. And I have another site that's Readings by Dragonfly, Readings by Mark Freeman, and that's my other site. I have an actual website, but it's under construction, and I promise I'll get it going, and that's tarotguide1.com. I really don't want to give my phone number out. I'd prefer that people contact me that way, and that we can go from there. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I wouldn't want to give my phone number out either.
Yeah, that'd be kind of silly, wouldn't it?
Hey, Mark, it's good to get to connect with you after 15 years.
It's been a delight, and I really thank you for this opportunity. I hope it makes a difference in people's lives.
You will. And maybe perhaps we can talk about other things like Wiccan and your wizard and background and those kind of things.
Anytime.
That would be very interesting.
Anytime. But remember, okay, this isn't the Mark show. This is just on occasions, okay? You got lots of other really important things to talk about, too.
Like,
well, thank
like,
you.
Like
I was
going
to say, like planets that are going to come and destroy the Earth. That's what we...
Absolutely. Now, that's important to know.
I know, it is
Would
important.
You believe it
yeah.
or not, but it's important to know about it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, you know, 2012, you know. The movie.
Yeah, see how that went over.
Yeah, so, I mean, you know, you never know. So.
All righty.
And I would have to say that Lucy is one of my favorite movies, and I recommend it to anybody who wants to understand what the human mind and the soul is capable of, because I think they really nailed it. Anyway, so go ahead.
That is, a good movie. I definitely put my support in that movie. But all right, well, I want to thank you again for coming on the show, and we'll be in touch because I'd like to get you back on, and it's been great and revealing, and thanks for pulling those two cards. I would say you were accurate. I'm a mess right now, basically. So
I know. Yeah, you but, alluded to it earlier, but the cards confirmed it.
Yeah.
And I know what the mess is about, but that I'm not going to talk about. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, keep that one a secret. We
Only
all
to
my,
you.
My,
yes, exactly.
Yeah. I don't need my whole life story on the air.
Oh,
so, but thanks for calling in, and we'll be in touch.
It's my pleasure. It was absolute Great. Delight. Sherry, thank you so much. It was lovely to see you again, and I look forward to seeing you both anytime soon in the future.
We'll see you. Thank you,
okay,
Mark. Darling. Thank you so much.
My
thanks,
pleasure.
Mark.
Be well, you guys.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hugs.
Bye-bye.
Oh, right. Wow, that was a revealing show, Sherry. That was really good. He's a great guest.
He's wonderful. Love him. He's just awesome. His energy and, you know, it's just really, he's matured over the years. I just can't believe how much he's grown since I last saw him 15 years ago. It's amazing.
Yeah, I think him and I share the same worldview in terms of, I really do believe in manifesting one's future. I think we definitely have a direct impact on what we bring into our lives. And the one thing that I don't quite understand is, you know, speaking of current events, is, you know, people, the thing that happened in France, like, I just really don't understand how those types of events can happen. And I don't know. I know it's a learning experience and all that. It's just humanity seems out of control to me. And I'm just confused about all the negativity and violence in the world and how that plays a part in you know, humanity's progression. But that will have to be another show.
That'll be another show, huh? Definitely.
And speaking of shows, you found us a guest for next week, right?
Yes. We're going to introduce C.F. Tellings. He's a palm mystery guy. His forte is reading palms. The guy is spot on. Definitely. Had a reading with him when I was at the Ghost Conference, and the guy, we did a trade, and the guy was just, I love him. He's just like Mark, very down to earth, no ego. He just sees what he sees, and bam, it was wonderful. So I'm going to bring him on to the show. He committed for next week, and I'm excited to have him. He does runes, but his forte is palmistry. So, yeah, he's going to be at the Ghost Conference next year like I am, and we're going to have a good time. So it's going to be great. But I would like to have him be exposed to explain what he does and the history and how he reads palms. It's going to be interesting. Very good show. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I think that's another area that we've never had. Palmistry, super interesting. I would love to get my palm read. And speaking of these shows that you go to, I'm thinking that maybe we need to start making plans to broadcast live from one of them.
That would be great. I'd love to do that. That would be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll have to get together and look at the shows I'm going to be doing this year and next year and kind of plan those things out. That would be wonderful.
Let's do it. I'm totally game for that. It's something that we've always wanted to do, but we've never got around to it, like going to one of these ghost conferences and broadcasting live. But, you know, now when you have gone to these shows, have you seen anybody doing that?
Actually doing live? No.
No?
Not at all.
So that,
so
I'm all about...
first, right?
Yeah, that's what I'm all about firsts. So we need to, let's set that up and let's do it.
We're going to do it. Yay.
All right.
Looking forward to. Yes.
All righty. Well, we're a little bit over time, and I want to thank everybody for listening and thank our guest, Mark, for coming on and educating us a little bit about Tarot. And with that, I'm just going to close the show with a little brief commercial, and we'll see everybody again next Sunday at 8 p.m., and hope everybody has a great week. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hi, this is Bill Bean, the spiritual warrior, deliverance minister, exorcist, star of House of the Dead, author of Dark Force. For more info and updates, please visit www.billjbean.com. And if anyone out there is in need of spiritual assistance, I'll stand for you.